Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're in Kings 2, chapter 19, and we're talking about Hizkiyahu and his country was under siege by Sancheirith, who was the king of Aram. And he had exiled the 10 tribes, who was a much more powerful nation than the two tribes. And they had actually destroyed the whole countryside. And a lot of the people, when an army were coming, would come to the city. So even though they had destroyed the whole countryside, most of the people of Yehuda had gone to Yerushalayim for safety. And they were surrounded and outnumbered by a huge number of troops. And one of the things they said was that sometimes they used to have a group of soldiers would go out to meet another group of soldiers, and whoever would win, then they would decide that group would be the winner of the engagement. And so the other side said, even if we would give you, meet up with you, we're not even sure you have 2,000 soldiers to come against us. You don't have enough horsemen. That's what it says on verse 23 in the last chapter. And so the situation looked very bleak, like there was no hope of overcoming the superpower that came against them. We mentioned that he tried to bribe them. He tried to, sometimes that worked. He sent them a lot of tribute and a lot of money. And they took the tribute, and then they came against them anyways. This was a trick that the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, did as well. They would say, well, if you'll give us a certain amount of money, then the city will be okay. And then once they had their money, there was no reason to keep them anymore. And then especially since he had even melted down the gold and the copper off the walls of the Beit HaMikdash to pay this tribute, the situation did not look good. One of the things that I find interesting is that sometimes when you hear about a great person, you think that their life was easy. Oh yeah, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and they didn't have challenges. And as one of my, I enjoy reading biographies of great people, of great rabbis, and other things. And one of the things you'll see is that most of them had big challenges when they were young. And sometimes you can almost say the greater they were, the bigger their challenges were. You know, some of them were orphans, and some of them had all kinds of things that happened. Over here, Hizkiyahu, this was a big challenge to him. We mentioned the view in the Medrash that the Rav Shaka, who was the Jewish fellow who was working for the other side, according to some, he was Hizkiyahu's son. But even if he wasn't, we're going to see that there were people inside the city, inside the government, that were against him and went over to the enemies and felt that Hashem would not protect us. To be honest, it is very tricky to know when you're supposed to fight for your independence and Hashem will help you, and when it's suicide to fight for your independence and just give in and go along with them and stay and fight for another day. During the destruction of the first temple and the second temple, the people rebelled against the powers that be, and the land was destroyed. They should have given in. They should have bent to Rome. The whole world was bending to Rome, and here these few Jews were fighting against the Romans, right? And yet, there are other times when a person is required to stand up. Part of the Oslo question about whether we should give land back to the Arabs is this question. If we give a little bit of land, then we'll get along well, and then there'll be peace, and, you know, we can't have the whole world against us, and then everybody will be our friend, and they'll love us like they love us right now. We gave back some land. You see how they love us, right? But that's the argument, that if sometimes really you should do, it's not worth Jewish lives. It's not worth fighting with the whole world. Maybe you should give it a little bit. And then there are other times where you can rely on Hashem to protect you, and you got to do what you got to do. So over here, Hizkiyahu went to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Don't give in." I mean, that's really the answer, is that if you have a prophet who can tell you what the right thing is, then you know what to do. Today we don't have that uh, uh, we don't always have things as black and white where we can go to a prophet and say, tell us what the right thing is. But it had to be difficult. We mentioned also that they asked the person not to speak Hebrew because they said to him, you know, the people on the walls, the common people, will they'll hear you. And he said, well, that's who I'm trying to get the people to give up. And he spoke to them in Hebrew, and he said that there's no hope for you. One of the ways in which we know whether to fight or whether to give in is whether it's an issue of standing up for Hashem. In other words, if somebody, for example, during the time of the Hashmonaim, where they weren't allowing the Jews to practice Judaism, so they had no choice but to fight because they weren't letting them observe their religion. Here also, if the people would not be able to do over here, what Rav Shaka was saying was that his argument was, well, none of the other nations, none of their idols helped them, so why should Hashem help you? In other words, just like the gods of all these other nations were powerless to help them, and these were big, powerful nations, and they had very mighty gods, and their gods were not able to stand up to our God, so how do you expect Hashem to be powerful enough to stand up to us? And so for them to give in would be saying, like, oh, yeah, that's a good argument, you know, like Hashem is like these. So once it became a question of attacking Hashem, so then you got to risk your life for that. But in other words, you're saying that Hashem is not powerful enough to save us, so that's a, then we can't give in, because then we make it like, you know, the Jewish people is like a nation like all these other nations. And so that's kind of what Chizkiyahu heard. But again, he went to the prophet, and the prophet, now by the way, the prophet was Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, so Chizkiyahu and Isaiah were Michutanim. And so this child, the Rav Shaka, who was the went over to the other side, would have been both their children.
Oh.
So it makes it even worse. You know? So he went to Yeshaya and said, "What's the story? What's going to be?" And that's what was mentioned. The other point I just wanted to mention, which was the and like on verse 30. You see from the words that Rav Shaka used what Chizkiyahu said. Like, Chizkiyahu was the king. What did he tell the people? Here, you know, the 10 tribes were sent into exile, and the world was being conquered by this wicked kingdom. And now they were coming against them, and they were vastly outnumbered. So what was he saying to them? So Rav Shaka says on verse 30, "Yisachas and Chizkiyahu Hashem leimor." You know, Chizkiyahu says Hashem will save, that Hashem will protect, or he says, "Happy tochen, yiftach has come." He says, "Happy tochen," and he says, "Well, you shouldn't don't have happy tochen." Is what he's saying. In other words, but you see that Chizkiyahu strengthened the people and said, "Look, we're an ancient people, and we do what makes what's the right thing, and Hashem will protect us. We have faith." There were people that tried to convince Avram Avinu to bow down to the idols so he could get along with Nimrod. And they said, you know, if you don't bow down, he's going to throw you into the furnace. And then what is, how's your God going to help you? And so there's a certain point where a person says, if you do the right thing, you have faith, you have trust, and you trust in Hashem. Okay, chapter 19. V'hi kishmora melech Chizkiyahu. So they told Chizkiyahu what was said. He wasn't actually there listening on the walls. They brought him the word. But he cursed the God, he tore his clothing because these were words of blasphemy. He was saying that Hashem was powerless. We don't like the, you know, the, and the skaspisak. And when a person wears sackcloth, it shows that they're uncomfortable. It shows that they feel the pain of people. Sometimes during a siege, the people that are very wealthy, they have what to eat, but the people that are poorer, they have nothing. So when you wear sackcloth, you're showing that that you're uncomfortable, that you're not satisfied, that you realize that people are in pain. But Yavu Beis Hashem, and he went to the house of Hashem, he went to the Beis HaMikdash to pour his heart out to Hashem. The enemy was giving them an alarm or a warning that we're going to destroy the city. Verse 2, and they brought all the leaders together. And the leaders also miscast and misakim. They weren't comfortable in ignoring their plight. They were all wearing sackcloth. El Yeshayahu Navi Ben Amatz. And they came to the prophet Yeshayah. This is the book of Kings. And actually, they do a pretty good job of sticking to Kings and not the prophet. Like there are, but we did mention Eliyahu and Elisha, but primarily the prophets aren't the focus of the book of Kings. But every now and then, over here, as far as a leader, as a king, he couldn't do anything. Cause sometimes a leader usually can have a general, he can do strategy, but over here they were so outnumbered, the only hope was to go to the prophet. Verse 3, Yom Alav Komar Chizkiyahu. So this is what Chizkiyahu said. Yom Sara V'Tolchecha. Today is a day of trouble, Sara, like Tsaras. Tolchecha means rebuke. It means that we're doing something wrong. And here it's also very interesting in the Hebrew, Una'atza, because the Jews in the Holocaust, the Nazis were called Na'atza. It sounds like Nazis. The word is a day of Na'atza. It's like a day of they translate this as blasphemy, but it's a day of trouble. Hayom Hazeh Kibo Banim. And it's really an interesting, colorful way to say it. The children have come, Ad Mashber, they've come to the birthing stool, Rukoyach Ein Laleda, and they have no strength to give birth. When a woman gives birth, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of strength. And one of the most dangerous times are if they're unable to give birth. If for some reason they go through labor for many, many hours, and the baby just doesn't come. It just doesn't, there's no koyach, there's no power left to deliver the baby. Today they have, you know, cesarean section where they can take the baby out. But in ancient times, if a person would go through labor for days, it was a real danger to the mother's life. And so he's describing the Jewish people that, it's a very interesting analogy that Hashem is doing this, putting us through this because, something good will come out of it. There'll be a birth. There'll be a rebirth. But we just don't have the strength for it. And so he's saying that, yeah, we realize that it's all for our own good and that we'll do teshuva and we'll come back to Hashem. But we just we're there at the difficult labor pains, but we just don't have we don't have the strength for it. Sometimes a person feels the strength, sometimes. He called out to Hashem, like, you know, give us the strength. How can we don't feel we have the strength. Now, that's a form of prayer also, is to tell Hashem, like, please give me koyach. You know, I don't have the, sometimes people feel like I don't have strength, so I won't pray. No, the opposite. If you don't have strength, so that's when you tell Hashem, I want to do the right thing, I just don't have the koyach. So that's the way he said it over here.
Koyach means
strength. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. Ula yishma Hashem. Now he said, perhaps Hashem will hear as Kol Divrei Rashaka. Maybe he'll hear the words of Rashaka, Sheshoko Melech Asher Adonim, that he was sent by his master. Here he wants to take it off Rashaka. He's thinking maybe Rashaka in his heart isn't so bad, but he was forced to say that. You know, his master sent him to say, L'chorof Elohim Chai, to blaspheme the living God. L'chiyach B'dvorim, Asher Shom Hashem Elochecha. He said that Hashem isn't going to hear us. So what he said was, the prophet, we have no more strength. We don't know what to do. So the prophet should help us contradict these words and bring a prayer in front of Hashem. And he says almost, in Hebrew, the English, he says to offer up a prayer. But Benasa means like to lift up, to carry. Like, carry a prayer for us. He uses the word, Ba'at HaSherish HaNimsa. We're already a remnant. We're already survivors. There's so many people who have been killed already. Maybe the prophet can carry a prayer for us, the few that are left. Verse 5, Yavu Abdei HaMelech Chizkiyahu Yishayahu. So the servants of Chizkiyahu came, and they brought the news to Yishayahu. They went to him for guidance. What do we do? Verse 6, V'yom Elohim Yishayahu, and Yishayahu said the following, Kosumo Nel Adonechem. He said, this is what you should tell your master. Ko Amar Hashem Al Tira. Thus says the Lord, don't be afraid, Menei Dvar Asher Shamati. Everything you hear, don't worry about what you hear. Asher Gatfu Narei Melech Asher Osi. you know, you think because the king of Usher, his lads, his young fools, the word nar in Yiddish, you call someone a nar, is not a compliment. It's like young and foolish, kind of like you're a person's in... Right, that's right, that's a narish kind, right? That's right. So he says, yeah, don't listen to these nars, these young whippersnappers from Usher. He knows him about Ruach. He said, how am I going to get him off your back? I'm going to give him a spirit. I'm going to put it in his mind. Vishama Shemua, he's going to hear something. He's going to hear a rumor. Vishav Larso, and he's going to back off. So you're worried that they've had this great siege, and they had this great army, and they're getting ready for the final attack? Don't worry, I'll put it... Hashem can make people change his mind. Hashem puts an idea in a person's mind. Nobody knows what makes him do it. So it says over here, like, Hinei Nosim Bo Ruach. Hashem says, I'm going to put a wind in his... I'm going to make the wind blow the other way. I'm going to put a spirit in his mind, and he'll hear something, and he'll back off. So Palti Becher Barth, and you know what? He'll never come back. He'll die by the sword in his land. So you're afraid of this superpower that destroyed all the nations and conquered everything in its path? I'm going to send a rumor and send him away. Verse 8, the Yashav Roshaka Vimatis Melch Asher. And Rav Shaka, who was the one of the messengers to try to convince the Bnei Yisrael to surrender, he came back to the camp, and he found that the king of Usher, Nilcom al-Livna, he had withdrawn the troops to Livna, Kishama, Kinasa Malachish, because he heard a rumor about that the king had withdrawn the troops. So here he was saying that you better give up right now, there's no hope for you, we're going to destroy everything. And he went back to the camp, and the king was gone because he had withdrawn the troops to Lachish. Verse 9, Yishma al Tirhaka Malakush. Why did the king do that? Because he heard that some far-off king from Africa, Kush is Africa. Today in Israel, they call it the black people are called the Kushim, you know, the Africans, the far-off, because that was a... Some distant nation is attacking the king. Now, by the way, this distant nation would not have been a threat to Usher. Like, when an army has momentum, they don't break off. It's really not the time to break off. But he broke off. So he sent more messengers to Hizkiyo, saying, first time, Koam Tomar Hizkiyo Melech Yudah Lema, Ayisa Elokecha Shirata Boteach Bo. Now you might think that we've backed off, and you might think that you're going to be saved. So he sent a message to Chizkiyo. He said, "Don't let your gods help you think that you have asher b'teach bo. You have faith in your gods. You might think that we're not going to conquer Yerushalayim. No, that's foolish. It's not true. Didn't you hear about what our superpower Usher, what it has done, Lakola Arto, to all the lands, Lachwimam, we wiped out every single country that's come against them. Ba'ata Tenatso, you think you'll be saved? Hatzil Osam Elohea Goyim, do you think the gods of all those other nations, Shishichasu Avosai, that the kings of Aram had destroyed these other nations, Gozan, Haran, Retzeth, Ne'eden, Asher, Batal Asher, these are great, big, powerful countries that were destroyed. 13. Ayy Melech Hamas. Where is the king of Hamas? Ayy Melech Arpad. Well, Melech Lawyer, Saparim, Hinei, Viva. These were different countries that were known to them, who were all wiped out. Verse 14. Yicha Chizkiyah says, Swarim Biyad Melechim. So Chizkiyah took those letters that the messengers had sent, the Koran, and he read them. The Yalbez Hashem. And he went up to the house of Hashem. Again, we get a picture of Chizkiyahu. He has faith. His answer is always a spiritual answer. So he took these letters, the Yifashayu Chizkiyahu, Isnei Hashem. He spread them out, like he brought them with him to the Beit HaMikdash. And he spread them out. Verse 15, Vispa'u Chizkiyahu, Isnei Hashem. And he davened. He davened in front of Hashem, V'yom Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And he said, Hashem, you're the God of Israel, Yoshev Kruvim, and you dwell amongst the cherubs. It's not clear why he... Hashem has different names, or different words that we pray to him with. why he, most people say the cherubs represent the little children, the innocent ones. And so he was praying to Hashem on behalf of the innocent children that would be in danger. You are the only God. All these other gods, they say, we know they're powerless. The Kol Malchut HaOrus, and you're the one in charge of all the kingdoms of the world. Ata Asiseh Shemayim, you created the heavens, Es HaOrus and the earth. Hatei Hashem Oznecha, Shema Tikach Hashem Einecha. You should hear what's going on. You should like turn around and focus on this. Open your eyes. Ure'ei Ushma, hear, see and hear Es Dibei Sancheirev Asher Shokol Horef Elokim Chai. See these words of blasphemy that Sancheirev is saying. 17. Now it's true that you allow this king to destroy the other nations, that the goyim that are from those nations. Verse 18. And you allow them to burn their gods. You know why? Because their gods were not real gods. They're man-made gods. The Evan, the man-made of sticks and stones. They worshipped the gods made of sticks. They threw stones at their gods. They made stone monuments. They worshipped trees. We had that before. Like they used to use the Asherah tree. We had them, and Hashem used the king of Asher to wipe them out. So we understand why you allowed those countries to be destroyed. 19. Ata Hashem Elokeinu. But now you, Hashem, our God. Hushyenu na miyadu. Please save us from his hand. Miyadu kol mamlocha aretz. And all the nations of the world should know, Ki ata Hashem hu Elokim levadacha, that you are the only true God. So he's not saying that we deserve your help. Maybe we don't deserve it. But maybe we do, maybe we don't. But he's saying that show the world that you're greater than all the idols. Show the world that you're the true God. That was his prayer. Some of our high holiday prayers reflect that. In other words, we don't. Our theme is not, well, always give us another chance, or take pity on us, or we deserve it, but it's that we ask Hashem to bring forth his presence to the world. Show the world that you are the king of the whole world. In other words, we live in a world where there's a lot of darkness and there's a lot of evil. And part of our prayer is that Hashem should show the world the truth, and should show Hashem that he is the king, and that's part of our theme. So this is the message to Hashem. In other words, that Moshe Rabbeinu also davened this way, that we really don't know whether we ourselves are worthy that Hashem should save us. We can't say save us because we've earned it. We can't speak to that. We need to be humble. We don't really know what we've earned and what we haven't earned, but we do know that there's a lot of evil and falsehood in the world, and we can pray to Hashem that our purpose in life is to show the world the true way, the knowledge of Hashem and the knowledge of good and righteousness. So we pray to Hashem that that's what he should do. 20. Vishlach Yishayah ben Amos so Chizkiyahu lemor. So Yishayah, so Chizkiyahu goes to the Beit HaMikdash and he prays, you know, he prays this very strong prayer, and he begs Hashem really to save us. And the prophet, who was not in the Beit HaMikdash, he prophetically knows that Chizkiyahu is davening. Vishlach Yishayah ben Amos so Chizkiyahu lemor. And he sends him a message. He says, "Kol Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Sheisfalti Eli." Thus says the Lord that you daven to me. Very interesting. Why does he have to say that you daven to me? In other words, because you davened, I heard your prayer. And davening helps. The God that you davened to said, "Else I heard what you got to say. Else I heard what you had to say about Sancheirev Melech Asher Shemati. I heard." 21. This is what Hashem said. You should know that you have come and you have attacked the maiden of Israel. A maiden, in some degree, is like a helpless, you know, a person who's a maiden isn't like a big soldier or a big warrior. And so Sancheirev said that, you know, who's going, you know, Yerushalayim is easy to defeat and easy to conquer the Jewish people. And so Hashem has said, you've attacked like a maiden, the Middle Ages, they always talked about a damsel in distress, or the maiden of the, so this is like you've attacked the maiden of Israel, like, you know, the Jewish people, Basulis Basion, Achara Rosh Haniyim Bas Yushalayim, and Yushalayim, like, laughs at you or shakes their head at you. Verse 22, Esmi Harafta V'Gidafta. Who are you cursing and who are you challenging? You're saying that the Almighty is the same as the idols. Ba'al mi harimosiv kol, and who did you lift up your voice? Betisa morameinecha, akadosh Yisrael. You're talking about the Holy One of Israel. 23. Bi'ad melechecha, and you sent these messengers. Cheirasa Hashem, you've insulted Hashem. Betoma berofli rikvi ani elisi moram. You thought. Now, they bring down the Sanhedrin with one of the most arrogant people. These emperors almost had to be in order to, they were, you know, they the kinds of things they did to other people and other nations, they felt that they were like God. It describes him as saying that he thought with his chariots that he could attack all the gods. He could be, you thought, as long as you had your chariots, the Rochav Rechati, that I'm riding my chariot, Ani Elisi Moram, I can go up to the heavens. Hori Mirasu Lebanon, and I'll cut down the Lebanon. The Lebanon means like the Beit HaMikdash. Vekros Komos Arazim, and I can cut down the big mighty trees. Vavo Malon Kitzei Yar Kamilo, and in other words, that I'm able to cut down the anybody I want. I can wipe out anybody I want. There's nothing nothing to stop me, that's so to speak. 24. Ani karati v'shetisi mayim zorim. And you think that I've dug and I will drink strange waters. Akir kaspame ko yore matur. And basically you think that you can do whatever you want. You think that you can dig and you can drink and you can destroy all the trees of the forest. It's up to you. You're the boss of the world, so to speak. 25. Hello, Shemati Mochuk. Have you not heard? You know, did you never ever study history? Did you realize that all dictators eventually they get humbled? Eventually, they learn about the power of Hashem. You think you're the one who's doing this? Also, Asisu Meikedem Yitzarti Ata Hevosio Si Lashus Galin Nitzim Orim Betzuros. And what these emperors have to realize is that Hashem, they are just the messengers of Hashem to destroy different nations or different peoples. And they begin to believe that they're the ones that are doing it and not that they're the messengers of Hashem. So have you not studied history? Have you not thought about, you thought that you can be the one that can wipe out the mountains and the hills? V'yashfein katsir yadi kitu. And these people that you destroyed, they were unable to stand up against you, and they dried out. They were like the grasses. Basically, you had a lot of success against these. He's kind of like describing a person wiping out nature, like wiping out the fields. The 27, Veshaticha v'tzeisecha uvayecha. And when you come and when you go, and you will know why I'm so angry. In other words, you really like destroyed the world. You've cut down my trees. You've destroyed things and felt that you were the power. And 28, Yan Hiragetska Eli, because you've made all this anger and all this destruction, the Shanana Allah, and you've created all of this tumult, Ola ba'aznai, you've come to my attention. I've heard what you're doing, v'samti achai ba'pecha. And it's time for me to take charge. I'm going to string you up, so to speak. Now, if they had a servant who was rebellious, or they wanted to show who's the boss, so what they would do is they would put a ring around their like a muzzle on them. You're going to put like a ring around your nose, and a cover over their lips. In other words, that I'm going to take control of you. You won't have any, you'll be totally helpless but to do what I want you to do. In other words, you feel you're the mightiest emperor, you're going to be treated like almost like an animal that's tied up and, you know, with a ring in the nose and the mouth and be led away like a servant. The visual is, you know, he spoke with such arrogance, and Hashem was saying to him, you know, I'm going to lead you. You think you're the boss, but you on your chariot are going to run the whole world, and I'm going to just, you know, it's like, you know, what they did with an animal, like with an animal that has a bit in its mouth, and it's led by the, you know, they pull the bit, and they're forced to do whatever it is that, and he's saying that you won't have any control over it. Now, how do you know that this will come true? 29. The sign will be, there'll be another harvest. There'll be a year where there will be a harvest, and then there'll be another harvest, and then in the third year, basically he was giving him a time frame for this to happen. 30. You stop the plates of space, Yehuda, and the Sherah Shores. And the remaining people of the Jewish people, they will take root. The Sisa Pri Lamala, and they will grow. And you think like you've wiped out most of Yehuda, and there's no way that they'll ever become a nation again. So Hashem is saying that within 3 years' time, they will again take root. The survivors will get together. And they will grow, they'll root underneath, and they'll produce fruits above. Kimi Yushalayim teitzei sheirus upleita. And even though the whole of Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, from Yushalayim will come forth a remnant, and a pleita mehar tzion, and it'll come from the Mount Zion. Kines Hashem tasezos. And it's because of, you know, you have challenged Hashem. Felt that you were the power, and Hashem has to show you who the boss is. 32. And therefore, Hashem says to the king of Asher, Lo Yavo Erezos, you're not going to succeed. You've conquered the whole world. You won't come to this city. Lo Yavo Shem Chetz, and you won't be able to throw the arrows in. Maybe you won't come to the city because you'll have wiped it out. No, he's saying you won't get here, and you won't wipe it out either. Lo Yachmenu Mogim, Lo Yishpocha Lesla, and you won't be able to mount a siege on it. 33, B'derech Hashem Yavu Bo Yashuv, and you'll come back on the same road that you took to get here, you'll go home. Be'ir Azos Lo Yavu, Nu'um Hashem. And Hashem said, forget it, you're not coming here, go home. 34, B'ganos El'ir Azos Lo Shia, and I'm going to protect my city, and to save it, L'mani for my sake, U'l'man David Avdi, and for the sake of David my servant. 35, Ahiba Lailahu, and it was on that night, the Yetzei Malach Hashem, and the angel of Hashem came out, the Yach, now by the way, that night was Pesach night. It's very interesting, and we mention it in the songs that most of us are, it's too far in the Seder for most of us to remember, it actually happened at midnight, on the night of Passover, the Yach, but Machana Usher, the camp of Usher, there was like a plague that happened. 185,000 soldiers died that night. The Ishkima Bavoka, they woke up the next morning, the Inekulupagori Mason, and they were surrounded by the dead. And when that happened, he had no army to go. 36, so he went back to Nineveh, and I'm going to say we'll stop here, but I guess we'll talk more about this. When he went back, so he had that chance. You would have thought that he would have seen the power of Hashem. Like, this was unbelievable. Like, he had conquered every nation. He had surrounded Yerushalayim. The prophet told him this was going to happen, and the prophet told him why this was going to happen. So what does he do? What is the first thing he does when he goes back? He goes to his idols. Right? So when he goes to his idols, he didn't get the message. So when he went to his idols, some people say that he asked his wise men and said, how could it be that the Jews were stronger than all the other nations? And his wise men told him, you know, they have a legend that their forefather, Avraham, was willing to slaughter his son to serve Hashem. And so, therefore, the gods favored the Jewish people because they were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. The one they loved the most, their children, they were willing to sacrifice to Hashem. So it says, Sancheiris said, you know, that's no problem. If that's what the gods demand, I'll give my two sons. The only problem is one of the sons was listening. And so when he went into the idol, he assassinated his father. Because that's the way the Medrash has it. It's a very interesting legend, right? So, and it was that he went and his own sons killed him. The Haman Nisbu Arts are red, and they went to the land of Arat, the Yimach, Asr, Chadim, Beno, Tachtav. And that's the end of this arrogant Sancheirav. That was the end of the king. And they had, I mentioned to you, they had schools of what they called Bible criticism. They made fun of this story, but until they found evidence of it, they found the evidence of that this happened. There was evidence of Sancheirav, but nobody really knew. They didn't advertise that he was killed by his sons, and they unearthed something where they discovered that still was written in one of the, not a Gentile source, that this is what had happened. But this is like the shows the strong faith of Hishiyahu, that it seemed like suicide to go against Sancheirav, that even the 10 tribes couldn't stand against him, and the other nations couldn't stand against him, and his own people felt there was no use to fight. And what he did, when a person finds themselves in a difficult situation, they pray. And that's what he did, is he went and he prayed, and Hashem heard his prayer, he saved the Jewish people. And this is one of the great miracles of the different enemies that we faced, you know, throughout our lifetime and through our long history. And because of his arrogance, there's an idea that Hashem makes the arrogant ones, eventually they fall, because that's a quality that Hashem can't tolerate, is a certain, when people think they're God. You know, I mean, sometimes we get frightened from people that are very powerful, and they, who do they think they are? But sometimes we have to have faith that if somebody's acting that arrogant, Hashem is going to take care of them, because only Hashem has the right, is the power. Nobody else has all the answers. Nobody else has all the power or has the right to act that way. And so over here, you know, he thought he was going to ride his chariot up on high and do whatever he wanted. Hashem said, no, you've come too far.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.